what the outside world wrote about Jesus. It's often true that truth hides in the quiet corners of old cathedrals, where stone arches rise like prayer and candlelight flickers against cold walls. Despite not claiming him as Lord, men outside the faith still left a mark that refuses to fade. These are the non-Christian sources, the writings of historians, governors, and chroniclers who lived near the time when the earth still remembered his footsteps. Their words come through centuries of haze, yet their honesty feels almost sacred. Imagine an empire with iron and ink. A Jewish teacher from Galilee wouldn't normally attract senators and scholars in that world. But he did. Despite being sparse, sometimes cold, sometimes dismissive, the records left behind form a dark and steady chorus. They don't sing hymns. They just note that something happened, someone lived, and the world was never the same again. The first one to mention Jesus is Josephus, a Jewish historian who wrote for a Roman audience. In Antiquities of the Jews, he mentions him twice. One passage, though later touched by Christians, still has an original core scholars of all backgrounds accept. He talks about a wise man who did surprising deeds, who drew both Jews and Greeks, and who was condemned to the cross by Pontius Pilate at the urging of leading men among people. In addition, Josephus notes that even in his own day, the Christians named after him didn't disappear. Jesus is also mentioned as the brother of Jesus, known as Christ. These aren't the words of a believer. These notes were written by a man who was already starting to shape people's memories. In his annals, Tacitus writes about the great fire that burned Rome under Nero, a history maker whose prose cuts like a knife. Despite the rumors that the emperor had ordered the flames, Nero blamed a group already hated for their odd ways, the Christians. Apparently, the name comes from Christ, who was executed by one of Tiberius' procurators, Pontius Pilate, under Tiberius. From Judea, the movement spread, reaching even Rome, where every shameful thing found a home. Tacitus doesn't like these people. He calls their faith a deadly superstition. However, he confirms the basic outline, a man called Christ executed by Pilate, and a movement that wouldn't die with him. A Roman governor in Bithynia, Pliny the Younger, wrote about Christians to Trajan. Their custom was to meet each day before dawn, sing a hymn to Christ like a god, and swear not to commit crimes. He was puzzled, even irritated, by their stubbornness. Nonetheless, his letter shows that by the early 2nd century, devotion to Christ was already spreading far from Judea, and that the name of Jesus was already being revered by Rome. The Roman writer Suetonius tells us in his Life of Claudius that the emperor expelled Jews from Rome because of disturbances caused by Crestus. Many see this as a reference to Christ, the name slightly misspelled. No matter how certain the identification is, the disturbance itself shows how Jesus could upset communities even in the empire's heart. There are scattered and often hostile remarks about Yeshu in the Jewish Talmud. These texts aren't friendly. They describe a man who practiced sorcery, led Israel astray, and died on Passover. It's dark, it's harsh, but the fact that these traditions exist shows that Jesus remains a controversial figure long after the first century. Hostility itself becomes a kind of reluctant testimony. There was something about this guy. Assyrian philosopher Maribar Serapion writes to his son about a wise Jewish king whose teachings were carried on by his own people. He compares the loss of that king to the losses of Socrates and Pythagoras, noting that the Jews suffered afterwards. Although he doesn't name Jesus, the parallel is obvious. The pagan philosopher could see that a teacher of unusual wisdom had left a mark that lasts longer than the rulers who killed him. Neither does the Sermon on the Mount or the empty tomb appear in these sources. Instead, they talk about love, forgiveness, and the kingdom of God. They tell us about a man who lived, who was crucified under Pilate, who gathered followers, and whose movement grew despite scorn and persecution. They tell the bare bones of the Gospels in living color in the language of empire and rival faith. In some strange way, this is beautiful. The light of Christ does not need the approval of the world to shine. The world, in its own reluctant way, has left records that the darkness won't be able to erase. Voices that never knelt still echo the name in the stone halls of history. They remind us that Jesus' life wasn't a dream or something invented later on. As long as they were public enough, disruptive enough, and lasting enough, they were written into the ledgers of governors and historians who had every reason to ignore them. These outside testimonies are like stained glass when we walk through the shadowed aisles of faith. The colors are muted. The shapes are incomplete. Yet the light still comes through. They don't replace the Gospels. They just stand next to them, confirming that the man who walked the roads of Galilee left footprints Rome couldn't erase. A quieter kind of witness is offered by non-Christian voices in a culture that sometimes treats the past as a story told only by the winners. It wasn't about building a church. It was about explaining a nuisance, recording a crime, settling local unrest. In the process, they became unwilling scribes of a bigger story. The cross they mention is real. The followers they scorn are real. Whether with disdain or curiosity, the name they write still gathers people in candlelit rooms and high-vaulted chapels across centuries. The Christian Gothic imagination is filled with shadows, so we listen. We don't demand these sources preach. Instead, we take the fragments they offer and let them sink into the larger mosaic of faith. It's part of that shadow, but the outside records still point toward the light that no darkness has ever trumped. The guy they mention is the same guy the church still follows. He was written into the margins of history, but even those margins carry his name. It's a quiet gift from the non-Christian sources. They don't sing. They simply refuse to be silent. And in their silence, broken only by a few spare lines, the truth continues to speak.